Captain Kellums, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, you talk about the weather on the west side of town. Big raindrops right now, so it's hitting a little early, I think.
The leading edge, as we like to call it. But it's easier because we don't have to shovel it. Obviously, that had probably played havoc with your schedules last week. We had a couple snow issues. I mean, on the leading into, what was it, Friday? We had everything was canceled there. Then we get another issue on Monday with all that going on. How did it affect your department?
You know, it was mostly quiet because we were lucky enough to get such advance warning. Anytime we find out the day before that we're going to have bad weather, it's usually not too bad. Most people pay attention. They drive slower. We get the road crews out, and we're able to get roads treated. So even though there's ice and snow and those kinds of issues, we can get ahead of it. The problem comes when it hits at that, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon when everybody's already at work. They have to get home and maybe they're inside their office buildings and don't see outside. That's when we see huge problems. So even though the weather was terrible, it was bitterly cold. Our guys had to get out in it and you were constantly trying to get them warmed up and safe. But even though it was all of that, it still wasn't too bad on the accident front.
Well, that's the good news on that side of things. The other issue is when those accidents do happen, and they happen in multiple places, you can't be everywhere at once. And then you've got people that are piling into every grocery store in town, and you got people running each other into parking lots, each other with their carts. Was it civil? Do we have a lot? Do we have plenty of civil behavior on that weekend?
Well, a lot of it is civil, as you said. A lot of times the roads will get clear because of the road crews and the city's plan to get those taken care of, and the county and state highway, they work really hard to make that safe. It's those parking lots, and some of those businesses pay quite a bit to have people come and clear those off, but then again, those people doing it have lots of accounts, and it takes them longer to get there. You add ice into that, and now you have a lot of people that think the roads are fine, and they hit that grocery store parking lot, and they just keep right on going into somebody else. So those become private property damage accidents. We do try to respond a little bit to help out, but sometimes we just can't. And we'll advise people this is a civil issue and you'll have to exchange information and go from there. And that's when we hope people are civil, understanding that accidents happen. As long as nobody's hurt, anything else can be repaired.
Well, speaking of the ice and everything, and I know this is not directly in your wheelhouse, but now we are prime for pothole season. So any suggestions if somebody encounters a pothole on the roads anywhere, what's the process or suggestions on that?
Well, typically just contacting the city itself and the street department can work on keeping a list of those, and then they're going to try to get out and repair them when they can. But as you said, that freezing, that rain, that water, when it freezes, it breaks up that asphalt and it breaks up that concrete and causes those types of potholes. And those become some real serious issues for us and for the city. And they can get really bad, especially in weather like this, because the water fills the pothole. You don't see it until you hit it, and then suddenly you've got a flat tire. So
can you give a pothole a ticket? That's the biggest question,
exactly.
I think.
Can you throw the pothole in jail?
Yeah. Trust me, I wish I could. I get beat up like everybody else with those things. So, and that's something that we do as well. Our officers will report problems, potholes, issues, lights out. We typically report those to the street department, too, as we drive around, because we can be the eyes and ears of some of those departments that don't have the opportunity to get out there and see all the problems in the city, and our guys do a good job of reporting those things.
Captain Steve Kellums is our guest from the Bloomington Police Department. He checks in every other Monday to see what's happening. And as we've been talking just about with everybody this time of year, we know the legislative session, the short session, is going on up in Indianapolis. Anything directly affecting your department, our department, and what's going on here that you're keeping an eye on?
Well, so far the big thing I'm keeping an eye on is the new pension budget bill that's going in front of the State House, the Police Fire Pension Fund. They're looking at lowering the retirement age from 52 to 50 and increasing the amount of compensation put in so that someone can max out their retirement at 28 years instead of 32 years. And that's a big benefit for me personally as I look towards retirement age and a lot of other people. Policing is a young man's sport. The longer you do it, I've been here for 27 years now, and I can tell you that the longer you're in this profession, the more difficult it can be sometimes. Thankfully, I'm not out having to chase down the 17, 18, 19-year-old criminals, and I can do it from an office, which makes it a little bit easier. But looking towards pension, I'm really excited about that pension bill.
And I can see why you are. How many years has it been? You said 27. Is that correct?
27. Yeah, 27 at the Bloomington Police Department. So it's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed my time I've spent there. But like any other career or job, that's a long time. And public safety, it's even longer. We've talked about the issues we have to deal with, the stress levels, the exposure to, unfortunately, some of the most horrible things a person has to see. So when you take that and you add it all up after 27 years, you can see why it's time for people to move on and maybe do something different with their lives.
But if you'd like to get involved, the Monroe County Central Emergency Dispatch Center is currently accepting applications for a telecommunication. Tell me about it.
Six positions. That's part of the, now we didn't lose six people, so it's not like it's a great job. It really serves the community quite a bit. And we got those six positions added because of the law enforcement income tax that came through that allowed for extra staffing. That dispatch center has been woefully understaffed for quite some time, and it's been a really, real difficult ride for those dispatchers and the amount of work they've had to put in. So we're really looking forward to bringing in six new bodies that can help meet all the demands, the public safety demands, because they dispatch for the police department, the fire departments, the township fire departments, the county sheriff's department. It is
the fire territories.
Yeah. Fire territory, the ambulance services, they do it all. So, and they're definitely the heartbeat of public safety, because without them, we don't know where to go. And they tell us that all the time. They tell us where to go all the time.
And when you mean understaffed, I'm not sure. Explain what that means to some people, because I don't want people to think, oh, great, I'm going to call and no one's going to be there. It's not that case. What is understaffed in this situation mean? What bridge are you hoping to connect with these six new people?
Yeah, we make sure that we have people there to answer those calls. Where we're at now is we've been in mandatory overtimes for a while now, where not only do they have their normal shifts that they have to work, but they're also required to work overtime to fill any gaps. And the problems really come in when you have someone call in sick or you have some type of injury or illness that strikes. Then we have to find those people to come in and split those shifts. And it's just the workload gets really heavy for the ones that have been there. And so we're constantly wanting to staff four or five consoles because of the amount of calls for service that come into the dispatch center. We do know, though, that sometimes some of those areas and some of those consoles aren't getting as much volume or calls. And so we're able to pick those up with some of the other consoles. And it's just a big shuffle that Jeff Schimmer, who manages our central dispatch, has worked to maintain throughout that. Adding that staff is going to allow us to, one, give those dispatchers who've worked so hard some much-needed rest and time off, and allows to spread out that workload a little bit to provide for a much more, in my opinion, consistent response. Even though I believe those guys have done a tremendous job and they work very hard and do a great job, it's just going to make life easier for them. It's going to make the ability for us to respond quicker, easier, and then do some of those next step things we've always wanted to do. A lot of times we find ourselves looking at projects or issues in the future that we want to move to, and we don't have the ability to do that because of some staffing issues. So this will allow us to start looking at the future of where we want to be and the calls for service that we see coming in, and just the growth of Monroe County. We're one of those areas in Indiana that continue to grow. So it's a big bonus for us, and we're looking forward to adding those people. So if you're interested, you know someone interested, you want to get involved in public safety at some level, fill out that application, come down and try out for it.
And we know that the obviously, we've been talking here about comprehensive planning and everything else that goes along with it, and where people are going to live and how we're going to zone it. Mick Renheisen's been on this program. We've heard it from the county council, city council, everybody else. Are your numbers have to move with their numbers, correct? So if we're going to see an influx of the new hospital site or the technology park and people moving downtown, you're going to have to keep up with those Joneses, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
So that's understaffing is one thing, and here, is it going to cover all the bases?
We hope so. We try to look at it every year and plan ahead. It's a great start, and, you know, we're going to start with this, and then again, we'll start seeing what those demands are. We're very much a data-driven organization. We have been for a long time, so we're going to be able to look at those raw numbers, those real numbers that are coming in, the workflow, who's responsible for the things that are happening, how they're getting done, the amount of time that they're getting done. And, you know, on top of all of this conversation, something for everybody to look out for is on February 6th at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, we're going to have our second annual public safety report. We did that last year with the Bloomington Fire Department. So we've got and us will be at the Bloomington Police Department, and we'll provide a last year report on last year's public safety, not only for the police side, but the fire side as well. So anyone interested in a lot of those numbers, a lot of that data that we talk about, they should come to the police department and see that or pay attention. Obviously, the press will be there, and hopefully we'll get some good reports out about that.
Well, yeah, and we'll talk about that here, obviously, on this program.
And I guess the one thing I wanted to ask also, the last time we spoke a couple weeks ago, was all of the kids coming back from the holidays and everything and the break-ins and whatnot and forgetting to leave doors locked and such. Things calmed down a little bit with that, hopefully, since everything's back in session now?
Yeah, so far so good. Didn't see a tremendous spike. Obviously we did see some, but not a tremendous spike. Nothing that's a real concern to us at this point. And we find ourselves quite often, it's like throwing a dart at a moving dartboard. So every week comes in with new data points, with new issues and problems in new different places, and we have to adjust our aim a little bit, and we continue to do that. So when we look at what happened over the Christmas break, we're real familiar with that. So we were able to put resources in place to kind of alleviate some of those problems, and I think we did that. And, you know, now we're looking at those next steps. So, honestly, for us, we're looking at spring. We're looking at Little Five. We're looking at some of those issues and problems that we see are going to pop up as we get towards the end of the school year. Even though it seems like it's just started, we have to start planning for that.
It's education. Hard to believe we're talking Little 500.
Oh, you have to. It's a year-long event.
It
now.
Is.
It's just like everything else. It keeps rolling along. I forgot to ask you, if somebody's interested in the job for the dispatch center, where's the easiest place to find more information for that, Captain Kellums?
You can find information on www.bloomington.in.gov, G-O-V, under the employment opportunities. You can either go to the public safety tabs under law enforcement and you find some links there, or just go to the city human resources page, which is advertised. The human resources will take those applications and then provide it to central dispatch, and we'll start our testing process to choose those dispatchers. So,
and very helpful on
the city website.
Facebook as well has that link for you. Search Bloomington
yes.
Police Department, but make sure you don't pick Bloomington, Illinois, Bloomington, Minnesota.
Correct.
As an employee of the Chamber of Commerce in Bloomington, Indiana, I cannot tell you how many times Bloomington, Minnesota, and Bloomington, Illinois come into the phone calls.
I can relate. We get that all the time.
And people, you got to know where you're at, people. Make sure you know where you're at. Looks like we're getting some rain downtown. It's here a little earlier than we thought. And we want you to be safe this morning, so we'll let you get back to work. And we always appreciate your time and your insight. And we'll talk here in a couple Mondays.
That's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.